The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Simsisms. Namesake.
They're going to get four quarterbacks, you know, that all got a little talent and got a little namesake in the NFL and all that. No way four is on the roster to start the year.
Not sure that's exactly the way to use namesake, but it sounds
good. No, I think you're right. It was close enough. It wasn't the right way.
Simsisms.
That was a good one. I love that one. And look, let me just say, to our loyal viewers out there, I appreciate when you email me a new Simsism, but you got to kind of stay up to date on what really is and what really isn't. Like, I'll get emails saying, oh, new Simsism, Lederhaus. No, Lederhaus isn't. Line in the Concrete. Got that one over the weekend. In the Concrete. Hey, new Simsism's like, no, that one isn't new. And you can usually tell in the context. You'll have a little twinkle in your eye as you say it. I'll make the comment that that's not a Simsism. That's been converted into an affirmative, embraced misstatement for humorous effect. And I'll still get emails that it's a Simsism. So didn't get many about namesake because we caught it in real time and we said to the world, that is a Simsism.
Yep. Right. Simsism. Don't know. Didn't use it right, but everybody knew what I meant. That's Simsism.
And it's just so funny. You're at the point where as the word is escaping your mouth, you know it. You know something's wrong with this picture, but you just lean into it.
I just push right through.
It'll probably be good.
Well, I don't, because I know if I'm too far into the thought now, so now I'm going to be like, you know, stumbling and stammering all over my words. So where I just, you know, I just push right through and try to get done with my point, and we'll see where it goes.
It's quarterback mentality. You've committed to the throw. What are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to pull it back down? You're going to get tuck ruled?
Right.
No, you're getting rid of the ball.
Yeah.
You've decided that's the receiver. You don't care how covered he is.
Right.
You're throwing that damn ball in there.
Right.
All right. Let's play a little what they said versus what they meant. And it specifically, for the most part, relates to the prospect of trading down. Three topics here. Let's begin with the Commanders. Head coach Dan Quinn says it's fair to envision the Commanders will be taking a quarterback in the draft. Gee, what a shock. They traded Sam Howell and they signed Marcus Mariota, who hasn't been a starter for a couple of years, and it didn't go well in Atlanta. They will also listen to trade offers. That's at number two. Now, he did a lot of deferring to GM Adam Peters.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly calling the shots
right there.
So, do you think that they go quarterback at number two? Or do you think Adam Peters, burned by his most recent experience of taking a quarterback in the top three in San Francisco when he was assistant GM there and they blew it with Trey Lance, do you think he's tempted to say, I'll take all the extra stuff and let somebody else run the risk of getting another Trey Lance or Zach Wilson?
Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, I do. I mean, one, you know, what they said, fair to envision, you know, fair to envision what they meant was, damn right, we're taking a quarterback unless somebody just sells us the farm and we get so many picks and whatever else we'll trade down. You know, that to me is what they're saying. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, Adam Peters, he doesn't have to trade three first-round picks to get this one, right? He's sitting there. They made the move, right? By all due accounts, it's Jaden Daniels, like you heard me say. He's got big-time talent. He's a number one pick in a lot of other drafts, you know? It's Washington, D.C., right? It's in one of the areas you look at and go, hey, African-American quarterback, certainly maybe a bigger deal there than other cities. I look at all those things. And then you go, well, there's Jaden Daniels. He won the Heisman, right? He's in an offense that's similar to Cliff Kingsbury's, you know, and played in that in college. So, yeah, from all that stuff, I just think, yeah, it's more than fair to envision.
You know, I've got in my head,
yeah,
that it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels from listening to you, and I respect your analysis, your independent film study. You're not somebody who's out there, you know, licking the finger and seeing which way the wind's blowing, processing different things they hear from scouts and agents and whoever, others in the media, and crafting their lists, which we know most of them do, most of the draft experts do. But anytime I say Jaden Daniels is clear number two, people try to push back. What about Drake May? What about Bo Nix? It's just strange to me that it really hasn't coalesced yet around Jaden Daniels. And what I'll say in response is, hey, we met with a bunch of defensive players who played in the SEC. And every time we asked them, who's the toughest guy you face, the first guy they said was Jaden Daniels, that he's unstoppable. You can't catch him. Runs right by you. In the SEC, NFL junior, SEC. He's thriving at that level in the SEC. So, you know, I'm going to defer to your assessment here. Now, maybe Adam Peters goes a different way, but, you know, I'll be surprised if it's not if it's not Williams, then Daniels. Regardless of who that who holds that number two pick, I'll be surprised if it's not Williams, then Daniels.
I think that, you know, the draft pundits love Drake May, right? Drake May, for a lot of the public and guys that host a radio show, whatever, has been the one that's been crammed down their throat for 2 years. So that's still a little bit like, what? And then I think, like we talked about a little, he kind of looks the part of the prototype quarterback. And then if you see the highlights, everybody goes, well, damn, that looks good, right? Look at that throw. And want to go, yeah, but, you know, he made that throw in the game. And then the next six throws after that didn't hit the broadside of a barn. And then he made another good throw. So that's where, you know, I think that, you know, people are a little misled there. They've been told Drake May for so long, it's hard for them to get off of that. Like you heard me say, I don't think Bo Nix or Drake May are worthy of the number two pick, especially not Drake May, who I think is a project. I do. But I would be shocked. I'll just say that. I'll be shocked. This is not me in a year where I go, you know, Mike, I know I've had my years where I went, ooh, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and I'm a little different in liking Zach Wilson. This is one where I feel like it's pretty apparent who the top two guys are. One sits alone by himself in Caleb Williams, and then another guy is really damn good and is in a tier by himself before we get to the rest of the crew. And, man, Washington passes him up. I mean, they're taking a hell of a risk. You're passing up a guy that had one of the greatest years in college football history that runs like a wide receiver and has a big-time arm and can see the field and throw over the line and do all that type of stuff, and you're going to pass that up? Ooh, you better hope he doesn't do good somewhere else, or you're gonna hear about it.
And even back in 2021, it's not like it was a reach, a stretch, a mistake at the time. For the Jets takes
No, everybody had him as two.
Kind of
right,
a given.
Right.
When the 49ers moved up to number three.
Yeah.
The immediate reaction was they know who number one and number two are going to be.
Exactly.
Number
everybody
one's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Number two is going to be Zach Wilson.
Right.
So the 49ers are going to pick from Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and
Trey Lance.
Who was the other? Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance, right. The one they did pick, the one they'd like to forget. Even though it wasn't his fault, it was just a bad circumstance. There was never, maybe they'll get Zach Wilson at number three. That's the best way to prove Wilson was number two. I hadn't thought about that until just now. There was never a mention of Zach Wilson at number three.
Never.
Ever.
No, it was set in
stone. Mac Jones,
right.
Justin Fields, and Trey Lance.
Right.
So Because, you know, whether it's people want to drag you or people want to drag the Jets, and you could drag the Jets for not developing the guy. That's the other side of this coin. It's one thing to say this guy's a top prospect. You got to take that lump of clay and mold it. And that's the thing that gets overlooked in all this. And that's the thing these top quarterbacks need to be looking at. Who is going to mold me as a lump of clay that could become a great quarterback? Who is going to get the most out of me? Who is going to make me into all that I can be? Because it's not just me at this point. It's what I have around me. It's what I have coaching me. It's the organization. It's everything. But the point is, just like 2021, when it was Lawrence and Wilson, this year, the more I listen to you, and again, I respect your evaluation of these guys, Williams and Daniels, and I agree with you. What Dan Quinn's saying is, beyond the fact that it's Adam Peters' call, they obviously are getting a quarterback. They traded away their starter from last year, and they signed a backup to a veteran deal. The path is cleared for them to come out of this, not with a guy in round two, three, or four, a first-round guy that is going to be their guy moving forward as the Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, and their other partners regime tries to make everybody forget about Danson.
That's right. It's the right move, not only because the player is the right pick and all of that, but we talk about beacon of hope, right? All of that. It's the right political move for a coach and a GM in their first year. It gives them a little cushion, right? Nobody's going to expect them to go to the playoffs or do that. You know, hey, we had a good year. Look, he's developing. Hey, the future's exciting. All those things point to quarterback Jaden Daniels and all of that. So, yeah, I'd be shocked. And, you know, again, to me now, number three is where it could get interesting. And I don't know about it. And that's where it could go a bunch of different ways.
And that's where we go next. What they said versus what they meant. Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo. It's still weird to say that and hear that. Patriots coach Gerard Mayo. Drafting a quarterback at number three is, quote, priority right now, but all the options are still open for us, end quote. Do you think that they truly would trade out of that spot where they can get a quarterback who will settle down a position that has been very unsettled since Tom Brady left for Tampa Bay 4 years ago?
Listen, you know, I don't look at the draft and go, the other quarterbacks are top three pick worthy, right? You know, other than Daniels and Caleb Williams at number one, of course. I don't. But now I'm never going to be mad at a team for, you know, being convicted and having conviction and, wait, we need a quarterback and we believe in this one. And, okay, so what if it's 10 spots earlier than the draft world or the draft pundits agree it should be? You know, that's where they got to balance this out. But what I would say he's saying is, yes, you know, drafting a quarterback is a priority right now, but options are still on the table. And then what I want to say with priority right now is it's a priority, but damn, we got a lot of holes to fill on our damn roster, like a whole lot of them, right? And that to me is where, like, the gauging of how the holes are in your roster and then the gauging of the grading of your quarterbacks, right? If I'm the Patriots and let's just say, you know, quarterbacks 3, 4, 5, and 6 on my board have very close grades, right? We got Caleb Williams, we got Jaden Daniels. Now the rest of these guys, the grades are kind of close here. Then I would go, Patriots, trade down a little bit. Trade down then. Fill some holes on your roster, and the difference between your third quarterback and your fifth quarterback is nothing. So you obviously like that guy a lot too, and do that, right? Or there's the opposite of that where there is a big gap, right? And then you go, well, then you might have to think about taking the quarterback because you think there's a big drop-off between 3 and then 4, 5, and 6. And that's, to me, what the Patriots brass has to figure out there.
Well, absolutely. And look, this is something we could see with one of these teams in the top five, really top three, although I don't think the Bears are going to do it. But you could see somebody who tries to get smart slash cute and drop down a few spots and still get the guy that they really like.
Right.
Let's just say that Adam Peters decides he likes Drake May.
Yeah. Okay.
For whatever reason, he respectfully disagrees with your assessment or anyone else that would say Jaden Daniels is the guy. He sees something in Drake May that makes him the future quarterback for the Washington Commanders. But I could get him later. I don't have to take him at 2. I could trade out of this spot, let somebody else take Jaden Daniels because somebody wants to cut the line in front of the Patriots because there's some smoke out there. The Patriots really like Jaden Daniels. So I could step out and I could go down a few spots and still get Drake May, or even do the double move where you go down, then back up. I think right. The Ravens did that in 2008.
The Dolphins did it the year they traded
down.
The Dolphins
and then came back up.
Yeah, the Dolphins traded with the 49ers, right? And then they went up and got Jaylen Waddle at number 6 and traded with the Eagles, right?
I believe. Yes. But I'm talking about more like on the clock.
Gotcha.
Thursday night.
Gotcha.
April 25.
Yeah.
Wanting a quarterback, trading out of 2, letting someone else take some other quarterback that they don't want, and then bouncing back up to get a Drake May if they decide they like Drake May. This is why it's so critical. I know everybody's – this time of year, we want to know what's going on. We want information. We want insight. No, you can't tell the world what you're planning to do, because if they know what you're planning to do, they'll try to disrupt it because there's somebody else out there that wants to do the same thing. And you always want to be able to come out of this process. And I – look. There's plenty of lying that happens in football that shouldn't happen. But there's plenty of deception that is just part of the game. And if you keep your cards as close to the vest as possible, when you finally do play a card, however you get there, if nobody knows what you were going to do, you could say, hey, look, we traded down and still got the guy we would have taken, if you're inclined to brag about that. But you want your fan base to perceive that you succeeded in everything you do. So if everyone thinks you successfully emerged from the draft with the guy you wanted, especially if you traded down, good. Good. It makes us look like we know what we're doing. We'll let the wins and losses resolve that question in a more immediate way later in the year. But more of the year is not football season than is football season, and you need your fans to think you know what you're doing. So that's why I think it's smart that we don't really know what the Commanders are going to do. Sure. We don't really know what the Patriots are going to do. You keep your options open, and yeah, you don't want to scare somebody away who may call you up and make you an offer that you won't refuse.
No, I hear you. Well, I mean, hey, like Houston last year, I know it wasn't exactly what you did, but they kept it close to the vest, and they pulled off one of the best big-time moves I've seen anybody pull off in the top 5 ever. Got a franchise quarterback, and then they trade and get to the number 3 pick and get a franchise defense end, you know? And nobody saw that coming. So to your point, that's exactly right. And we'll see where it goes. But this is, to me, where it certainly will get interesting as far as what the Patriots do. I'm very intrigued by their approach here because they do have Jacoby Brissett. We know he could play and start if they need be, definitely. But, damn, they need a quarterback. We know that for the future. But they need a lot on their football team. And, of course, Jerod Mayo wants to get things off on the right foot. It's going to be a big decision there at 3.
And I think back to that trade last year that allowed the Texans to move up to get Will Anderson. I'm sure the Cardinals happily took Houston's first-round pick this year, assuming it was going to be a top-5 pick.
Definitely.
They found out, as the rest of us did, that it definitely was not a top-5 pick for the Houston Texans. That's part of the risk you take, though, when future draft picks factor into these negotiations. That's why, you know, we're talking about the Commanders trading down and the Patriots trading down, possibly. The Vikings are sitting there with 11 and 23, not 11 and future draft pick, 11 and 23. You know exactly what you're getting now, and there'll be more that gets added to it if they're going to try to move up, depending upon how far they go. But you know what it is. It's locked in. It is set in concrete, the 2 first-round picks you're getting. You're getting them now, this year, and you know exactly where they reside.
Yeah, agreed. Let's go. Get to the next subject. Let's go.
All right. Wow, that was a smooth transition. Jets head coach Robert Saleh said yesterday at the league meetings in Orlando, last year was a little loud. We welcome a bit of quietness. That's what he said. Chris, what did he mean?
He meant last year was freaking crazy,
And I shouldn't be texting Joe Beningo behind the scenes and all that stuff anymore this year. And hopefully my quarterback's not going to run for vice president. That's what he means, right? So, yeah, they were the circus of the offseason last year. This year, you know, they're not going to be quite, you know, under the microscope or everybody trying to get at them on media and all that. They can have a little bit more of a quiet offseason, and I'm sure they'll welcome that.
Well, and what they like is, and Miles Simmons and I talked about this on Friday while you were in your hammock with your blunt and your pina colada, not necessarily in that order. Every coach wants to have his team not be the darling of the NFL. It's in your best interest to have your team overlooked and disrespected, because when that happens, number one, you guys don't have massive egos, swelled heads bumping into the door frame, unlike yours, which just does naturally. And number two, sorry, couldn't resist. And number two, he can use that to put a chip on his shoulder. Nobody's taking it seriously. Nobody believes in us. Nobody respects us. Look, they have us finishing fourth in the division. That's better than being predicted to be first in the division, because your guys don't have any newspaper clippings that they can get caught up in, and you can say everybody thinks you stink. That's what he's going to get this year. And also, Chris, what I'm going to be very interested in, because last year it was like every game was either night game or Black Friday game,
right?
Late afternoon game for the Jets. When the schedule comes out in a couple of months, less than that, month and a half, when it comes out, how many of those games this year are going to get pulled to prime time and big spots after last year? Like, when you aren't riding this wave of expectation, the schedule makers might be a little, like, they got burned last year.
Yeah.
They might be a little hesitant this year. And that's good. Every coach, and you know this, would prefer that every game begins at 1 o'clock Eastern every week. Perfect routine. Same thing, Sunday to Sunday, same kick time every week. Just we're in that cluster of games, and nobody's really paying a lot of attention to us. Like the Texans last year, it was perfect. Now, it wasn't great for fans because they're like, hey, you know, these Texans, you know, we'd like to see them, you know, in a night game. Finally did late in the year, but that's what I think Saleh is hoping for, a team that is under radar, a team that no one has expectations for, and a team that can go about its business without all that extra noise that they had last season.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, we were all, can they go to the Super Bowl? Aaron Rodgers, what can he do? How awesome will they be? What's it going to look like? All of that. I mean, we couldn't get enough of it, right? So, yeah, between primetime games, I'll be interested to see their schedule in general, because I think we both agree the last two seasons they've probably had the hardest first six or seven games out of any team in the NFL, which has been kind of crazy. But yeah, they've done some things here to improve their football team. We know they're extremely talented to begin with. They got a lot of pieces there. They improved the offensive line. Yeah, but they're flying under the radar, and nobody knows what to expect from Aaron Rodgers and his age with the Achilles and all of that right now. So, most people are thinking Bills and Dolphins still in the AFC East, and the Jets kind of have slid through the cracks. So, we'll see where this goes, but I'm excited about the Jets. I really am. I'm excited to see what they look like with that O-line, Aaron Rodgers, Nate Hackett having the formula there with Rodgers. And then, of course, we know that defense is as good as anybody in football.
By the way, Chris, if you were perusing ProFootballTalk.com over the weekend, you might have seen that Ian O'Connor has an unauthorized biography of Aaron Rodgers coming in August of this year.
Wow.
Rodgers sat for a 2-hour interview, but it's still an unauthorized biography. He'd been working on Rodgers, he told me this yesterday, since the trade happened last year, to give him an interview as part of this biography. And eventually he got 2 hours last month. And one of his observations was, Rodgers looks jacked. He looks like he's put on some heft on his upper body. He looks like he's ready for a fight.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, listen, I think too many times guys get older, you've heard me say this, where they go, wait, I want to be faster like I was when I was younger. And there's no way to get that. And yet they lose weight
and then they become actually less explosive, less strong, and just less physically stable. Where, yeah, Rodgers, you're not going to move like you were when you were 32, so just give that up. I don't care how much weight you lose. You know, be strong, be explosive, and be able to take a little punishment. And Rodgers is freaky. That's where, again, Aaron Rodgers in his prime is arguably the greatest talent in the history of football. And that's a little because, like, I mean, Rodgers has got real muscles. It's rare. He's a rare quarterback that can, like, lift in the weight room and you go, whoa. Rodgers is like Jack. He's jacked. He put on 10 pounds of muscle in a month. He is kind of freaky like that. That's why he, you know, could run a 4.5 coming out of college, and he could throw a ball 80 yards and did some of the damnedest damn stuff I've ever seen at the position in the, you know, 2012, 13, 15, 17 years. He's incredible, and it's because of that body.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, will there be quarterback competitions for the Giants or the Seahawks? Strong statements coming from the head coaches of those two teams at the league meetings. More PFT Live right after.
The G-Man.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I love my cat, Tiger. And as my best friend, we speak our own language. What's that? You love your litter. He does, because I use Fresh Step Outstretch Litter. It absorbs 50% more waste and odor and requires less changing compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Less changing means more time playing. Right, Tiger? That's a yes. Find Fresh Step Outstretch cat litter in the pet aisle. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
There it is.
There.
See ya. Bye-bye, Minnesota. Wow. Woo.
That's actually well done.
That really is amazing.
I like that.
I do too.
I wonder
too.
What that costs. They probably do it. It's probably cheaper now than it ever would have been. But yes, there he goes from 8 to 18. Of course, he won't be wearing 8 in Atlanta. Not because he didn't want to buy it from Kyle Pitts. He didn't want to buy all the Kyle Pitts jerseys that are in warehouses coast to coast at retail, which is what the NFL would have forced him to do, as we explained last week. All right, so we know that Kirk Cousins is QB1 for the Atlanta Falcons, unless he's not healthy or gets injured again. We don't know, or at least didn't know, what the situation was with a couple of other NFC teams. Some clarity has been provided, Chris, by their head coaches. Now, when Drew Locke signed with the Giants instead of the Seahawks, Seattle GM John Schneider said, well, that's because he's under the impression he's going to compete with Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback. Brian Daboll, the coach of the Giants, said otherwise. This comes from NFL Media. We're excited to have Drew Locke, Daboll said, and he knows what his role is going to be. He's going to get a lot of reps this spring. He needs to learn our system. But again, excited to get Daniel Jones back. When he gets back, he'll be the guy. Remember, Jones recovering from a torn ACL. That's one of the reasons why Locke's going to get all those reps in the offseason program. But when he gets back, Daniel Jones will be the guy. That's according to Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, one, we heard Drew Locke himself has come out and said that. And we heard that a little bit from Russell Wilson before he signed with Pittsburgh and all of that, that he was led to believe that, yeah, you weren't going to come into New York and just supplant Daniel Jones. You were going to have to earn it, right? They've invested in him. The organization does believe in him. You know, to what extent right now, I don't know, right? But I know there's a backing there. You know that as well.
right? I don't look at Drew Lock to be there to supplant him. And as we've talked about before, like, again, with the New York Giants, and you evaluate last year and do that, like, Daniel Jones is like problem 72 on the list that the Giants had last year. I don't know what people think or what they were expecting earlier in the year that was supposed to be different, and the games would have been different if Daniel Jones played that much better or whatever else. They had a tremendous hard start to the schedule, right? I know they got blown out in week one. They came back and beat the Cardinals, who the next week beat the Cowboys, so that wasn't easy. They had to go on the road to the 49ers, who were in a class of their own, or a different class than the New York Giants, and the Giants' offense could not block them. They were under assault. The next week was attempted murder by the Seattle Seahawks on Daniel Jones, who had nobody blocking for him for four quarters of a football game and was sacked 11 times, and like we talked about, probably should have been sacked 20-something times, and that's not an embellishment. They go to Miami, lose that game. Guess what? They are not as good as Miami. They go to Buffalo, probably could have won it, didn't pull it out, whatever, but lost that one, you know? So, again, I don't know where the – why did people think the Giants were just going to steamroll everybody or thought they were supposed to win those football games? Of course they're going with Daniel Jones. It's a big year for him. We know that. He's got to prove it.
You know, this is one of the realities of – the contract reporting that leads with the lie, and the lie takes root. We all think he's making $40 million a year, and and he's close, but he's not quite. He got $37 million last year. This year, $35.5 million fully guaranteed. After this year, all bets are off.
Yeah.
After this year, they can decide whatever they're going to do next. Is it Drew Lock? Is it somebody else? It's going to be... number one, can he get healthy? Number two, can he stay healthy? Number three, can he play well enough to get the Giants to re-up with him? And a lot of that is offensive line.
Yeah.
Can they give him time? And also replacing Saquon Barkley as a powerful dual-purpose weapon in the backfield. Will they have enough heat that they can take off of the passing game with the running game to give Daniel Jones an opportunity? But, you know, I feel like he's going to have to do a lot to stay there beyond this year. But at least for now, according to Daboll, he's the guy.
Yeah, no, and he should be the guy. But, yeah, he's definitely got to answer some questions. I'm certainly not trying to give him a free pass or anything like that. But at the same time, too, I think it's a little, like, you know, crazy with how he's over-evaluated at times, or maybe just everybody expects a little too much, and I want to go, wait, what on their offense or their team did you think was supposed to be so much better, and why do you think Daniel Jones is the problem? That's all I push back against, but a huge year for him. You're right, and he's going to have to play really damn good to earn that third year of the contract.
Well, and you know what? This goes back to something that happened last year, and I blame the Giants for this at some level. And it may be at the ownership level. When they're in one of these negotiations with a quarterback, they like to leak what the quarterback demanded in order to make him look like he's being greedy. The problem is that number is hard for people to forget.
Yeah, that's
and they
right.
get an attitude about the quarterback at that point. Who does he think he is? $45 million. Who does Daniel Jones think he is? Well, it's a negotiating point. He eventually signed his contract, but you got people who soured on him by hearing that to think that he wanted $45 million a year. And that's where you do a disservice to your player and your team to try to negotiate in the media. They did that with Eli Manning. We're going to be talking about him for different reasons coming up later in the show. But when he was due for a contract at one point, he wants to be the highest paid player in NFL history. Well, yeah, the way the franchise tag worked, the way the market was at the time, you do a deal based upon the franchise tag, which he was eligible for the next year. Yeah, it makes him the highest paid player. It's not that he's out there saying, I should be the highest paid player in NFL history. It's just the way it worked out. But they put that out there, and he backed off of it. They backed off, and they took a deal that was less than what the leverage of the franchise tag would have given. My point is, you're doing a disservice to your guy.
Yeah.
You're not supporting your guy
right.
when you try to make him look bad and look greedy in those negotiations, because it's going to work.
Right.
You're going to have fans that aren't going to forget that this guy overvalued himself, and how dare he do that. All right. Geno Smith did not overvalue himself. He has a reasonable contract in Seattle. And Mike McDonald, the new head coach of the team, previously had suggested that maybe there was room there. Hadn't anointed Geno Smith as the guy. John Schneider has since done that, and now McDonald's singing a different tune. He said, from the league meetings, courtesy of NFL Media, very confident in Geno. Geno's going to be our starter. Sam Howell knows he's going to be our backup, but Sam is a great young player, and he's got a really bright future that we believe in. So Geno is the starter. But still, there is something that they like in Sam Howell. He's young. He's 23. Younger than Bo Nix, same age as Michael Penix Jr. Played a lot of football last year. Stayed healthy last year. Got banged around. Stayed healthy. Threw like 40 or more passes in 8 games, 50 or more passes in 2 or 3 other games. Impressed the Seahawks when the Commanders went to Seattle and lost 29-26. He had a big day then. I mean, this is a guy that they can just kind of back pocket, see what he does, and maybe by next year, he's the guy. See how he develops under the new regime in Seattle. See if he can become a guy that, when you put him with better pieces around him, maybe flourishes and becomes that franchise quarterback everybody's looking for. Long road, but it's worth the risk when you consider he's, you know, entering year 3 of a slotted mid-round rookie contract.
Yeah, that's right. He's the kind of guy you take a chance on. You do. You take, you know, not that he even is a chance. It kind of fits two slots in the fact of, hey, we got a good backup. Like you talked about, he played a lot of college football. He played a lot of football last year. All right, so that's good. And, hey, you know, maybe if it doesn't work out with Geno after this year, man, Howell's got some starting quarterback traits about him. You know, he will stand in there. He will make big throws down the field. You know, he is an aggressive decision maker. There's things to like about Sam Howell in his game. So I understand that all the way. But yeah, Geno has played still good football and starting caliber, you know, type of football. Last year wasn't as good as the year before, but I'm sure when Mike McDonald and staff sat down and they watched film and kind of evaluated their new team and all that, they probably sat there and went, man, Geno certainly isn't the problem. We got a few other things to fix. He can maybe be a little bit better, but what we got here is a guy that's a good leader, works hard, sees the field well, and can really throw the damn football. He really can. Now maybe they can block a little there in Seattle and run the ball a little bit. They're another team a little bit where, yeah, you know, some of those issues like the Giants, they got to help the quarterback out. And they weren't very good in that department. But, yeah, good for Geno. Good to see where that goes. And I think it's smart decisions by, you know, McDonald and John Schneider there.
When we return, a topic that is near and dear to my heart, a topic that I would have made segment one and talked about for 2 straight hours if they would have let me. The pushback is coming. Honor and a privilege, my ass, says Deion Sanders. That's not an exact quote. That's just my take on it. We'll talk about what might happen to the draft in 2025 when PFT Live continues right after this.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top 4.
Mm, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind 4. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So in certain cities that ain't going to happen.
It's okay, you want point?
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
Oh, it's going to be an Eli. Here it comes. You know, every 21 years it happens, Chris. 1983, John Elway, drafted by the Colts. Don't want to play for the Colts. Traded to the Broncos. 2004, Eli Manning, drafted by the Chargers. Didn't want to play for the Chargers. Traded to the Giants. And here we are 21 years later. Deion Sanders making it clear that his son Shador and Travis Hunter from Colorado. Now, he thinks they're going to both be taken top 4. There's a lot of football to be played.
There
and
is.
Decisions to be made between now and then. But I just like the idea that we're arriving to that moment where the top prospects are potentially going to be willing to say, I don't want to play for you. And you know what? If you draft me, I got my NIL money. It's not a threat that I'm going to sit out for the year. It's a promise. And I'll re-enter the draft next year. We'll do it all over again. If you're going to waste a first-round pick on me, if you're going to waste the number 1 overall pick on me like the Buccaneers did when Bo Jackson said, hey, I'm going to play baseball. Don't draft me. This isn't a threat. It's reality. I'm going to play baseball. Don't draft me. They drafted me. Plays baseball. So, look, you know how I feel about this. I think the top prospect should exert power over the process. They should, if they don't want to go play for a dysfunctional team in a city where they don't want to live, for a coach they don't want to play for, a group of players that aren't good enough, a front office that isn't good enough at putting good players around a potential star player. Those are all real factors. This is the anti-Terry Bradshaw take from 1983 that we played last week when he let John Elway have it when he forced his way out of Indianapolis. No, Baltimore. It was Baltimore. Still Baltimore. Last year in Baltimore at the time. So this is where it's heading. And one of the key ingredients, Chris, is having a Deion Sanders who will be the pincushion for all the criticism. Just like Eli had Archie, you're not out there as the kid being hated on by everyone. It's going to be somebody else who's the magnet for the vitriol.
Yeah, no, I mean, we hit on this a little last week. I mean, we know this is coming, right? I mean, yeah, with the college players having more power, being more aware, being more business savvy, having the NIL money like you're talking about, not being as desperate that way. You know, it's inevitable. It's going to go that way, certainly. All right, I will say, like, you know me, first off, I'm like Deion Sanders, idol. I'm surprised, I guess, to a degree, a little, that he's taken that take already this strong, this early, right? You know, even to kind of put the pressure on his son and Travis Hunter that way a little bit, right? And also, I don't know, Deion just always has kind of been like, hey, I'm here to compete. Let's go. The lights are on, whatever. I didn't know if he would take this type of approach, all right? But obviously he feels strong enough to kind of what you said, take things into their own hands, and there are certain situations or places that he doesn't think are conducive to, you know, his son and Travis Hunter for playing and maybe not to succeed there. So I get that. It's a dicey decision, certainly. It really is. But I'm not going to fault them. I understand that. But I will say again, it's hard. It's hard to know what's going to happen and all those things and how it's going to shake out and everything that way. That's what, you know, I say. The league is the best league in the world. It's the most competitive league in the world because of the way it is currently set up. And that's where I love it that way, but I'm not mad at, you know, Deion for taking control of, you know, his son and another guy he looks after very importantly in his life.
And this isn't brand new. It was something similar that Deion Sanders said to our buddy Chris Mad Dog Russo
right,
a week and a half or so ago.
Yeah.
Talking about Caleb Williams initially and then pivoting to Shadur, the idea that he doesn't think Caleb Williams should go to Chicago. He thinks Caleb Williams should push back against playing for the Bears. And the problem is Caleb Williams doesn't have somebody who can be the shield, somebody who can take the heat like Eli had Archie and like Shadur and Travis Hunter have Deion. And it occurred to me this morning after I wrote this, you know, if Caleb Williams doesn't want to play for the Bears, and I don't know whether he does or he doesn't, but in the event that he wouldn't, why not get Deion to do for you what he's going to do for his son and for Travis Hunter? Get Deion to be the voice. Get Deion to be the one who puts it out there. I've been consulting with Caleb Williams. I want to give this young man the benefit of my perspective and my experience. And we competed. I saw him on the other side of the field. I think he'd be a great player, but he has to take control of the development of his career. And, you know, I've given him my advice that he shouldn't play for this team. I mean, you know, that's the way to do it if you don't naturally have someone who can be that buffer for you, because you know what's going to happen. The first one who does it, the next one who does it, after Eli Manning and John Elway before him, is going to be reviled. Called. I hope the world has changed to the point where people won't just dump on the kid who's trying to control his life. But the problem is, Chris, it goes against the mindset that everyone has been conditioned to accept, that it's an honor and a privilege. It's part of the fun. Let's find out where this guy's going. It's like opening a pack of football cards. Let's find out where this guy's going. Let's find out where that guy's going. And anything that goes against that pisses people off.
Yeah, no, it does. And this will, you know, especially a team that needs a quarterback and is looking for a quarterback, and all of a sudden the Sanders family comes out there and goes, well, he's not playing for that city. Yeah,
I mean, that's just, you know, again, you can't have it all. And Deion's he's willing to take the heat there and be that guy that you're talking about to make sure his son's in a spot that, you know, is conducive, or at least conducive in his eyes, to success. You know, that's the big thing. And I'm not going to be mad at anybody for doing that. I'm not. But I will say, I mean, again, the system, the way it is set up in a way where, you know, again, it's, oh, Joe Burrow, don't go to the Bengals. It's a disaster. Oh, you're in the Super Bowl year two, and now you're one of the coolest teams in the league. Oh, my gosh, Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars. Well, no, oh, 2 years later, you're in the divisional game, and you got the Chiefs on the ropes in Kansas City. So it all can change so quick this day and age. I guess that's my big thing. But, you know, Shedeur Sanders obviously got big-time talent. You know, probably would have been a first-round pick this year, of course. I haven't studied him like that, but I saw enough on TV to see it's there. This will add some intrigue to next year's draft, seeing how Deion and you know, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter handle this whole situation. We haven't had one, right, this early, right, in like a year before the next draft, come out and basically say, watch out, we're not going to go everywhere next year. They're kind of putting it out there early and putting everybody on notice.
But this is the time to do it, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
As we embark on the 2024 season, yeah, and as the scouting process goes forward, you're going to have teams that allow that to influence them so they don't get themselves into a bad spot. Now, you could have some that say, well, we're just going to take this guy out of spite, but that's a Bill Polian attitude that I think has graduated out of the NFL.
Definitely. Right.
Where you have these GMs that are just going to take a guy and say, screw you.
Yeah.
We run this show. You don't.
Right.
You sit down. You shut up. We draft you. You play for us, or you go do something else. Because, again, they got more power now. Fine, I'll go do something else. I'll go live off my interest for a year, and I'll re-enter the draft. And I'll play for one of your competitors and kick your ass every year. Maybe twice per year if I'm in the same division. So I think what you might have, and this is the genius of it, you're going to have teams that aren't on the pre-approved list.
Yeah, right.
Naturally come to a conclusion that, you know, Shedeur Sanders really doesn't fit what we're trying to do. Travis Hunter, yeah, you know, maybe he's a little overrated. We don't really want him. And you don't get to the point where you have the fight. By declaring the intent to fight now, the teams that aren't going to get these guys may choose to go in a different direction. There's so many different directions you can go. And it's so subjective, Chris. You know it. When people look at film, they see what they want to see. So all of a sudden, you don't want to see greatness in these guys because you really don't want to go down this path of being the team that gets the middle finger from Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter. That's what may be genius about this. And the cities that seem to be on the pre-approved list, Falcons, 49ers, Cowboys, Commanders, Ravens. Those are the places. Now, I don't know that anyone's going to need a quarterback come next year. That's a different issue altogether. But I like this. I like this approach.
Well, it gets it out there and gets in front of it, right, to your point of where you're not going to have again, I think you'll get to a point where you're not going to have some fan base or organization like lead their fans and everything and, hey, we like Shedeur Sanders, we like Shedeur Sanders, then to find out, oh, wait, Deion crossed us off the list. Oh, crap. Right. So they're not going to. So to your point with that, it kind of sets the narrative a little bit. And when he gives that notice or whatever, I mean, I don't know, but it's interesting. And Deion's the man. Deion's well thought out, smart. You know my thoughts on Deion Sanders. I pretty much think he could do anything he wants to in life. And I'm very interested to see how he handles this whole thing.
One last point. The one team on the list that needs a quarterback potentially would be the Cowboys, depending upon what happens with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
If Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders start comparing notes, and none of this is prohibited for Jerry Jones to be talking to Deion Sanders, maybe that's their exit ramp from Dak Prescott. Maybe Shedeur Sanders. They find a way to get Shedeur Sanders next year, and if Shedeur Sanders eventually whittles it down to, I want to play for the Cowboys or I'm sitting out a whole year, then it may very well be the Cowboys that he plays for in 2025. All right, let's take a break. When we return, L'Jarius Sneed, as expected, on the move from the Chiefs. We'll tell you where he's going and share some more thoughts on the trade when PFT Live continues right after this. L'Jarius Sneed made that play that kept the AFC Championship game from becoming very close and very uncertain late. There he is getting things done against the Eagles in the regular season. Franchise tagged by Kansas City. And we knew this was coming. They gave him permission to seek a trade before they even tagged him, for crying out loud. The trade is worked out. The Chiefs get the Tennessee Titans 2025 third-round pick. There was a swap of seventh-round picks in 2024. Snead will sign a four-year contract with the Titans. Deal will be formalized after Snead passes a physical. Chiefs get something now and later, not much now, just a swap of seventh-round picks now, and a third-round pick in 2025 for a guy that it looked like they really didn't want to keep. It looked like they just used the franchise tag as a way to be a placeholder so that they could trade him when they otherwise wouldn't have been able to trade him.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think in their perfect world, they probably wanted a second-round pick. It didn't happen, right? I think that was a lot of the talk, at least I heard, behind the scenes. They get the third, right? But I think ultimately, like we talked about at the time, right? They can't pay everybody. That's the big problem. It's Chris Jones, right? I mean, it's Trent McDuffie's awesome. They're gonna have to pay him. They got some young corners coming up the ranks that are damn good, right? Nick Bolton's one of the better middle linebackers in football. They're gonna want to keep him. They're paying a right tackle is like one of the highest paid right tackles in football. Of course, what Mahomes is making and all that. So I think this is one where, yeah, they went, wait, we've drafted well at this position. We can't keep everybody. We like them. We got to move on. And they do that. And damn, I mean, hell of a move by the Titans. That's what I look at. The Titans, you go, wow, him with Chidobe Awuzie and Roger McCreary, a corner right now, I'd go, that's a damn good three to kind of get the Brian Callahan defensive tenure, you know, off to a good foot or a good, what do I want to say, good step, good note, whatever there. You got it.
Good start.
Good start.
I think that's it. Sometimes just keep it simple. Don't try to get flowery or you may end up stepping in something that the dog left behind in the flower patch. I will say this, though.
Yeah.
The third-round pick in 2025, now, depending upon how many true unrestricted free agents they sign, and
right. The
whole compensatory draft pick formula is a balance of how many you lose versus how many you sign, and there's different things that go into play here. But if they're not going to go out and sign a bunch of true unrestricted free agents and you lose L'Jarius Sneed, you might get a third-round pick for him anyway next year. Now, that said, getting a third-round compensatory pick at the bottom of the round is different from wherever the Titans may land.
Exactly.
The Titans may be near the top of round three. We don't know.
Right,
but
right.
The only thing that bothers me about this, and there's language in the CBA that says when you apply one of these tenders, you do so with a good faith desire to employ the player for that season at that amount. It's not supposed to be part of a game to get compensation, because why not just let the guy become a free agent? Why not let him get paid? Whatever he's getting paid from the Titans now is less than what he would have gotten if he'd have been an unrestricted free agent on day one. But this is why they love the franchise tag, Chris, and this is one of the reasons why it's never going away.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. Yeah, they're not going to let him just leave. And the guy that they drafted, they developed, right? And they believe they're a big part of the reason why he's so successful. They're not going to let him just go out scot-free or scotch-free, whatever one you want to talk about there, right? They're not going to let that happen. They want some sort of compensation.
Here come the emails. And he said scotch-free at 8:46 a.m.
I think it's good business. And, ultimately, I don't think they wanted to keep him. We know that, right? But if they had to, I guess that would be their in good faith. If we get stuck with him and can't find a trade partner, we'll deal with it. But, I mean, we know. And of course, that's not fair, and the NFL is not fair that way.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, they're trying to make the kickoff not more fair, but
kickoff
more relevant to the game. The latest on the proposal that will be taken up today by owners to revolutionize the kickoff. That's next here on PFT. Andy Reid likes the proposed revolution to the kickoff. It should be exciting and new. Boy, he's ripping off the theme song to Love Boat. We'll see what happens. I don't know if it's going to pass, but if it does, I think it adds a little excitement and newness to it, right? Is that a word? Newness? I don't know. Ask Chris Sims.
I don't know.
Is. He's dipping into your Sims
of the
day calendar. Look, Chris, this is the most dramatic change to the game since, at a minimum, when they moved the extra point from the 2 to the 15, if you're going to kick one. Maybe since they embraced the two-point conversion in 1994. Mm. This is tremendous. This takes a play that has evolved to the point where it is dead because the touchbacks are so prevalent now. The return rate's 22%, and that even seems high when you watch a game. Like, where's the one out of five times that somebody's returning a kick? Not in the game I'm watching. There's going to be returns all over the place, returns up the wazoo, because if you kick it into the end zone, the receiving team gets it at the 30. And if you're short of the landing zone, they get it at the 40. It's going to be return after return after return if it passes. But here's my take on this. When you look at the proposal that came out last Wednesday or Thursday, it is so long. There are so many questions. There are so many potential unintended consequences. They've already moved the touchback from the 35 to the 30. That happened yesterday. There's no way they're going to pass this today. This thing's getting bumped till May because there's going to be questions that they're not going to be able to answer in whatever session they do today. And they're not going to want to sit down and figure out every last thing. They're going to get overwhelmed at some point and say, let's just resolve these issues and let's take it up in May. Yeah, they don't have to do it now. It can wait 2 months.
That's right. It's still going that way. I still think the general push from everybody in the NFL is to make this happen. There's not only the special teams coaches, we know it, but it's got the backing of the head coaches. It's actually got the backing of 345 Park, and we know they met with the special teams coaches and all that as well. So this is one where they want to make it happen, and I think there's legitimate excitement, Mike. I mean, I got calls from coaches last week talking about our conversation on Thursday about the new kickoff rule and all that. Got some calls from special teams coaches because, you know, one, they were happy that we saw the positives in it, and they're excited about the possibilities like we talked about. The schematics of it, right? It's still an exciting play. It's a big part of football, and there's more there to be had here as far as what can be done here. So, I think everybody in the league really is behind this to keep this play available. But, yeah, you're right. I think they gotta tinker with some of the things here so they can explain it and make sure it's well thought out and everything set up the right way, and it doesn't sound like they're quite there yet.
Yeah, you don't want to leave any unanswered questions or potential loopholes that could turn the whole thing into a mess. You just don't want to do that. You want to have it all thought out and ready to go.
So, and let's get this straight here, because this is the part. So, traditional touchback, ball gets kicked in the end zone, right? The guy now, returner, has to get the ball and, I believe, put his knee to the ground, right? And now he'll get the ball there at the 30. Is that what they're saying there? This is just, so I have this straight. And now That was yesterday's change.
Not the 35, but the 30.
The 30 for that. Now what, like you said, they got to land the ball between the 20 and the goal line. If they land it a little short, then the ball will go to the 40-yard line, right? Do I have that part of it down?
Correct.
Okay, cool. That's
25 yards from the spot of the kick.
Gotcha.
25 yards from the spot of the kick.
Okay.
So if it's back some, it's 25 yards from there.
Yep, okay. You know,
we talked about that whole penalty enforcement, and that's subject to tweaks. There's just too much that could be tweaked. And, Chris, here's my concern, and this is why they have to think all this through.
Yeah.
If you make the touchback the 30 instead of the 35, and you have teams that decide, you know what, I'm going to put Tyreek Hill back here to return kicks because it's not a high-speed collision anymore. I don't have to worry about what I used to have to worry about with somebody coming down, you know, at top speed and diving into his knee and tearing his ACL. It's all tight, and I get past one line of defense,
and
he's gone.
Right.
You're going to have teams that say, hell yeah, I'll just kick it out of the back of the end zone and give you the 30. I'm not kicking it to Tyreek Hill. No way in hell am I kicking it to Tyreek Hill. So that's part of what they got to think through. Maybe the 35 would be better to avoid a scenario where teams start using their best offensive players and they start getting long returns and the other team just says, screw it, I'm kicking it out of bounds. I'm going to do what I used to do, put it through the uprights if I have to. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to wrap up this Monday edition of PFT Live right after this. All right, Shohei Ohtani has been in the news, and this isn't a baseball story. This is a gambling story. We've been covering it at PFT, Chris, because this is a cautionary tale for the NFL. And without getting into a lot of the details, we don't have much time to do so. I guarantee you that there are NFL players. I don't know this, but I just think common sense tells us. There are NFL players who are using friends or family members to place legal wagers through their phones, and the player is bankrolling the whole operation. And the NFL had better be worried about that, because just like Shohei Ohtani is blowing up in a different way because it's an illegal bookie in California, but it's going to happen at some point. It's going to blow up for the NFL at some point. They better be ready for it, and they better do what they can to smoke it out and solve it before it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I would bet you're right. I mean, with all the guys in the NFL, guys making money, gambling as popular as it is, as easy as it is, and convenient as it is, yeah, I would think you got some guys that are doing that type of stuff, Mike.
And that's the easiest fix. If I'm in my 20s and I got a buddy and I want to gamble, I'm just going to give my buddy the money and let him gamble for me. All right, that's it for today. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.